With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you feeling a bit animated? Well, come on over to the Wicked Anime Podcast on the Nerdy Show Network, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to animation, Japanese culture, and all things anime. With a true industry perspective, we're always diving deeper than school uniforms and tentacle monsters. Join us on the Wicked Anime Podcast, nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. It's Wicked A!
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. It contains content that may not be suitable for all ages, so listener discretion is advised. All Nerdy Show podcasts are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Discover the many ways you can join in at nerdyshow.com. All right, how we doing, everybody?
It's early.
We're doing well.
We're doing a morning recording after the 4th of July,
which was brilliant of us.
Yeah.
Feeling a little greasy.
But at the same time, like, if I could do this every time, I would still do it.
Oh, man. Well, if
getting this shit done in the morning is great.
If we were just making tons and tons of shit, we're like, we're going to do a day, this is recording day, we're going to do one at night, one in the morning, one at night. I think it'd be doable if you had a good 4-hour block in the middle.
Sure. Yeah, that would be. So before we get into our homework, which we've all done.
Yep.
So we're on top of it. No, you didn't do your homework.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Really?
But I'll wing it.
Okay.
Give me 10 seconds.
All right, but before homework.
Yeah, sorry. I was talking about GM stuff. There are things you, like, especially if you play with other groups and listen to other people, like even like really great GMs get into like some traps. And one of them is creating GM PCs that are pain in the ass. There's a few reasons they create them. It's usually a super powerful character or a character that just kind of goes with you to act like another member of your party.
Or to babysit.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times they'll create a giant super badass character that you're all supposed to be in awe of because they really wanted to tell that character's story. And then if the party gets in trouble or does something dumb, the GM can just use them as deus ex machina to rescue them.
Yeah, and then Neo shows up and he punches the agents and then he flies out while Korn plays.
Yeah. We're telling you, don't do that. You can create characters that join the party for a little bit, you know, if there's a good reason to. Like, Liam had Ned, who was a super powerful character, but was set up to fail. Like, that was the idea.
Yes.
If you're creating one, and it's just going to die, and that's going to be part of the story that you're telling, cool. That's cool, too. It's not the same thing. Creating the super powerful character that everybody's supposed to be in awe of, they won't be. From their perspective, you can just say what you want about him, and it's true, so it's not that impressive.
And you don't want to steal anyone's thunder.
The closest I got to it is we did a Savage Races campaign. The main characters were like young goblins and gnolls and orcs, and they were about to go through a rite of passage, but previously something bad had happened with the previous rite of passage and nobody returned. They were kind of following the trail of the three who did it the previous time they found out were still alive.
Yeah.
And they were higher level than the party, but It all went cockeyed for me.
Yes, because, it all went horribly awry.
Yeah, well, not for the party, but for me, because I wanted the party to have a reason to rescue them. So I had them in front of a force that they just couldn't beat. They were caught out, and they get surrounded while the party is watching from safety. And then Liam's character runs out and heals their healer. And now I'm like, well, he's just not going to let it happen. And then they rescue him. And then I was like, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
We're gonna make this campaign about how you're now taking over their goal, you know, instead of you rescuing them.
It worked really well, and that encounter was really fun because it was definitely a situation where like you made sure we knew winning was not an option.
Yeah, because they had broken through things and tried to make it sound impressive. They're like, well, how'd they even do that? And there's only three of them. And then I could show them being completely caught out where they just got surrounded by creatures that you'd already fought like one-on-one.
And one of them nearly whipped us. And then there was like, there's a room with 12 of them. We're like, okay.
Yeah, and then healed their healer. And then all they did, like a 27-round combat of them walking backwards.
Yes.
walking backwards into a hole, and that's where that session ended, because I was like, I don't know what to do from here, so we're just going to call it. I'm sorry. But it was fun. But yeah, that's a risk. If your characters decide to interact with these secondary side story PCs that are just there to set an example, you got to figure that out. You got to find some other way for them to bow out of the story.
You can't let your brothers go down like that, though.
Mm-hmm.
So my DM PC story is, I had a friend of mine run a game. We've been playing 3-5 a lot together. So we run, I think we're running 5 deep anyway. And then he makes a paladin that's 2 levels higher than us. And we started at 10.
Okay. So it's already a paperwork nightmare.
Yeah. Because the whole thing is, it was supposed to be a campaign running parallel to the main one we were running. And with the idea that eventually they would interact. So he makes this just ridiculous paladin, and we're all like, all right, cool, first adventure, this is great. I'm playing a rogue. I get one-shotted by a troll in a surprise round for twice my health.
Oh god.
Yeah, so it wasn't even close. And then yeah, his character single-handedly beat it up, because it can do damage to it and none of us else could, because we didn't have any fire or acid anything to do. Like,
he balanced the encounter around the PC he created. Yeah. That was too powerful.
And also, because it was session one, first fight, it wasn't like, you guys are gonna be fighting you guys are gonna be fighting a troll, have some stuff to fight it. It was, none of us knew it was coming, none of us had fire anything. And he's like, oh, we can't hurt it. We can't permanently hurt it. It regenerates more damage per turn than we can possibly do to it.
I don't know his face, but yeah. I can just see a DM being like, well, you don't always know what you're going to encounter in a world.
He's like, this is like,
no, fuck you. You created this.
And also, this is the first encounter we couldn't possibly have known.
Yeah, and that's also, like, always goes back to setting expectations.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like, there's this adventure that keeps being reprinted. There's this two, like, companion adventures that keep being reprinted. They're enormous, enormous, extremely difficult adventures. And everybody knows that going in. Like, if you decide to play this, you know it's going to be difficult. And it's called, there's one called Rapanathuk. And then there's Then there's one called The Sleeping Tsar. And
that just sounds like a great book.
They're amazing. They're so dense. They're enormous adventure paths, but they are designed to be incredibly difficult. And here's the thing to know, is that this war, like, the book comes with, like, chapter setting expectations of being like, listen, you can go anywhere in this book, but people live there and they don't scale. Like, you wander off the map, you're gonna find some shit that's gonna instantly kill you. If you don't have that conversation with your characters of being like, hey, just so you know, this is all pre-written and I'm gonna stick to it. Like, if you wander off path, so just think about that. I mean, this is a game, so think this is a world where everything is more powerful than you and you know it. You got to march through it piece by piece. But that's something you don't really find in pre-written adventures, is the GM PC, right?
Yeah.
Like, you'll find story characters where, like, you go into a battle and, like, the champion of the guard or whatever is so-and-so, and he is just a world beater, and he's throwing people back left and right, and you're just in awe of how much power he does. Generally, that's happening because you're going to have to interact with him later, or he's going to turn into a bad guy or something like that. It's just to set a standard.
Or he's going to die and you have shoes to fill now.
Exactly. So that's a story device. If you're creating it just because you want the characters to be impressed, it doesn't work that way. They don't care. They want their characters to be cool.
Or to fail horribly, because even that's more fun
than
watching someone else succeed who's made up to just make you feel like a dick.
The guy that you made up can easily beat the creatures you made up?
Wow.
That sounds hard. You're really pulling out the stuff. How clever.
Or you make the world beater who has no fire ability. And then he comes up against troll. He's like, well, I'm fucked.
He's just Sisyphus.
Then the party has to do something, yeah.
He's been fighting this troll for years.
Yeah.
They're both hungry.
I'm rolling the troll up a hill. At what point would the troll just be like, can we stop? Can I go do something else?
That's at the point the troll starts helping, like, okay, let's get up the hill. Can we end this?
It's that scene from the end of Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like, is this what it's to be, Jack Sparrow? You and I battling back and forth till trumpets sound. That's actually a great plot device.
Just two creatures who have been fighting for beyond memory.
Maybe there's like a whole mountain. Shit's going down on that mountain, and they're both like scavenging for food when they lose sight of each other, and then they're coming back and fighting each other because they just can't. Neither one can win, but if one of them loses, the town's fucked.
You're like walking up these like deep like rivulets through a mountain. You're like, what the fuck made this?
Yeah, and there's just like whole sections of trees just gone. You're like, what the fuck?
This guy became a wizard because he saw the troll do some magic. He's like, oh shit, he's getting ahead.
He'd been fighting so long, he's like, I learned magic in combat.
You can imagine what that guy's diary is like. Of like, woke up today with a stone about to come down on my head.
There's just two like giant skeletons like wrapped in, and there's like a diary, and you're like, what the hell?
The troll grew an extra set of arms today.
That's an Elder Scrolls thing, where you would find the diary later.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, step four is in the manual now. We got it out, and it's going to face rebalances as we go. I was thinking for step five, scoundrel, just a passive that makes their lowest non-crit number a crit, right? So, like, if you're using a piercing weapon, it's normally 1 and 20 are both crits. Well, this makes it 1, 2, and 20 are crits.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes, like, if you're using a cutting weapon, 1 and 20 are crits.
Yep.
D&D, Pathfinder, they do things where you extend the crit range. You've got, like, you know, 19 to 20 is a crit, and then 18, and then you got something that can double that, so it's like 15 to 20 is a crit. That's all cool, but it does complicate things for the roller. And I think, but I do think we can get there. I like the idea that removing your lowest roll,
it feels cooler.
Well, it's also mechanically much more powerful than just adding to the top end, which is still a bonus, but, you know.
But also, I also love the flavor of you're a scoundrel, and you fuck up bad. You fuck up so bad, in fact, that it does exactly what you wanted to do harder than you thought you ever could.
It's almost like you've been in a place where you fucked up so many times, you know how to angle fucking up to do what you want to do anyway, just because you have to.
You're the Bob Ross of stabbing.
It's like when you're driving.
Yeah, happy mistakes.
Like when you have to drive a $200 car, and you're the only one who can make it work, because you know exactly, like, what to touch and everything, you
exactly
know?
Yeah,
like you've been here before, I know how to do this.
Don't roll the windows down. The car will stall out.
Hold this wire, press this button, just pray to the machine spirit.
Do you guys have anything you want to do for step five, for anything, or if there's any kind of goal you were thinking of for specific paths? I was thinking for like champion, I think you should start replacing they're at wills, or with marksman. I think it's going to be the hardest. Marksman, like once you're done shooting arrows, we could say replace increase rapid fire by one, because everybody down the path of marksman has rapid fire, right?
Yeah, fire is amazing.
I mean, one of the easiest things to do with marksman to augment rapid fire is, like, you now get your bonuses that you lose and by using rapid fire, you just get them now.
And there's also, like, you could treat it like a ray, you know, like you just punch through one, get to the next.
Penetration?
Yeah, where would it be full damage, like a spell, or would it be
full damage, half damage, quarter damage?
Or maybe it reduces the dice tier by half until it can't.
Yeah, maybe that works.
I think for math, full and half is a lot easier for people to do in the mainstream than
rolling damage again every time. Actually, Or even just a thing where, like, marksman just starts ignoring armor.
We already did that?
All right. Then if we're going to do that, you can shoot a ray, and then it's just full, half, quarter, and then that's it. You only have to worry about three. You don't have to keep doing that forever.
What if it's full, half, slows?
It could be good, yeah.
Because we do third arrow is going to do a lot of damage, but it could do something. It would give you a reason to do it.
My thing is, even looking at, like, other systems, the way they handle, like, high level rangers and stuff, they just start giving them spells and shit.
Oh yeah. like rangers are garbage.
Yeah.
Well, they've been good. But so here's the thing, like, is marksman, is that a half path?
No.
It's a full path.
It's thing.
So much fun with marksman, I would stay.
Right, but I'm saying, like, everything you have is going to get better as you level up. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely everything. Yeah. At what point is there just nothing more to add that you'd care about in marksman, other than just increasing its effectiveness?
No, you can always think of trick shots. Mm. I mean, it has weaknesses that you can just start to curb too.
True.
We're like, okay, you can now fire at things in your face, you can. There's always combat tricks and stuff to add, I think, to marksman that haven't been done before, because the flavor of
I guess the reason I ask is how much of that is appropriate to give to marksman versus how much of it is appropriate to put in another path that they can go down. I don't know the answer to this.
I do like the trick shots and everything. I feel like making each path its own thing is good, because people can do whatever they want. They can go to this, they can get that, they can do whatever. But we shouldn't just set out to make something a half path.
No, I'm coming to there because it's like, out of all the other paths, that's the one where it's like, more arrows, you know, like what is a trick shot that you would put in here that you wouldn't put in that because if it's a sneaky one, it shouldn't be in Marksman.
Yeah,
like it should be Scoundrel.
I get that.
You know, or some kind of thing where if you get somebody by surprise, maybe a range shot can do XYZ. That's fine. And then you'd pair it with Scoundrel to take people by surprise.
I think stuff that, like, fortify their position, you know, like archer spikes or something.
Like shoot and move, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, or maybe some roleplay stuff, right? Like some roleplay passives where, you know, something about being better at, fuck it.
Stuff like just like called shot.
Yeah. I don't know. The called shot is very strange to me because, like, I don't think we should do called shots because how well you called it is how well you rolled, you know? Like, you should always be calling your shot every time you pull it, you know?
But maybe, like, pestering, like, making sure a creature focuses on something.
Mm. Or maybe, like one area. Draw focus to you.
Yeah.
Because you're already really pretty far away. Something like that. Yeah, you could do that.
I like fire and move. Like, maybe you can move 3 spaces or something after you fire.
Mm-hmm. Some kind of kiting
mechanic.
Put that bee in your bonnet. Marksman was the only one I was worried about where I was like, where's it going? You know,
I'm actually not that worried because there's a weird amount of fictional characters who are bowmen who do really interesting things that we could really draw on if we wanted to.
Yeah, I guess that well's running a little dry for me for not putting the other extra things in another path is what I'm saying.
I get you. And it doesn't matter. It's not like anything stopping you from going.
Right.
Another path.
Yeah. You're not sacrificing anything by stopping going down Marksman. You still got all that shit. You know, like, you're still going to use it every turn. I don't know. Well, we'll think about it. Just stuff that you would feel attracted to if you've already gone down there. Something that it would make it worth still continuing down Marksman instead of branching.
Yeah. If you, like, hold a shot, and when somebody else hits, you hit as well. Kind of a double.
I think you can already do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's something everybody can do on their turn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good idea, though. Like some kind of sniping trigger mechanic or whatever.
I rather than going sniping fixed position, because that's cool,
mm-hmm.
but it's less fun to play. I would start thinking about a ranged stick and move. Go more into the suppressive fire thing and the reaction. Like the reaction shot is the coolest thing that has because it's not a thing that exists in other games at all.
It's true. Or do the thing where like. If somebody swings at you and misses, you can do like an acrobatics check or whatever to move.
That's cool.
Half your speed and immediately fire as a reaction.
Yeah.
And what if you do, they're slowed.
Like effects on enemies. Like if you kill an enemy from 10 spaces away, they can't react. The other enemies would be like, you know, I don't know, not slowed or something, but just a little more nervous about what's going on.
Like an intimidating shot or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but okay.
That would have to be a scene ability or a daily or something, but.
Well, maybe. Because, well, here's the thing is that like. Should we allow an ability to do that? Because what if you're fighting monsters? What if you're fighting rock creatures?
Yeah, right? They wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Right. But the reason I ask that is because, like, is there a reason you can't do that already?
Well, there's a lot of reasons you don't use your daily or scene.
No, I mean, is there a reason why you couldn't just say, I shoot him, and since he's dead, you
know, scream.
Yeah, I'm going to do the intimidate.
And okay,
You know what I'm saying? Like, just as part of just what you decide to do as your character. That's where I'm running into the issues of like, wait, can't they just decide to do that already?
Already,
you
know, yeah.
Like stuff like that.
I was just thinking the intimidation effect of you have a sword and you see the dude next to you get punched through the throat with an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Your sword is 3 feet long, you know? Like,
yeah. Shields are effective. Like maybe if something blocks all the damage from an arrow, something could happen or I don't know. We already have banking shot, which is pretty cool.
They block it with an arrow, but the arrow explodes on the shield and splinters.
Yeah, we could do
fragmentation effect.
I mean, would kinds of arrows be the?
That's definitely something we got in. There's no reason not to.
Yeah, I guess another thing is like, can't they just buy a different kind of arrow and use it?
Maybe that would be a ritual.
I would almost say no, because the only people who would ever even think about using them are heavy steps down into marksman. Like that's stuff you have to start making yourself for it to be effective. Because there's no hunter who's like, hi, I would like the frag arrows, please, to ruin all the meat that I have.
Yeah, birdshot. Like,
could I light my deer on fire when I kill it, please?
Yeah, maybe stuff like we're treating poisons for rogues. Mm-hmm. It's a thing you can do before you fire. Like if you could do an attack action to coat your arrows with a thing.
What if you at step 5 or 6 or whatever marksman you open up crafting as one of your attributes or something?
Maybe.
So plus five.
You get a bonus to any crafting roll,
Because you're going to want to start making your bow. You're going to want to start making your arrows.
Yeah. You're going to get very specific, like curving arrows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we could treat it like poisons for rogues.
Or
like you can say, oh, I want to create these kinds of arrows for myself as part of my path. And then nobody can use them but me because they're so specific to how I fire my bow.
Who would know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even just making like secondary functions or because the amount of random crap archers actually use in real life is insane.
Yeah. I mean, just the different arrowheads alone is ridiculous.
But I was watching a thing on Olympic marksmanship. The question was like, why do they drop their bow at the end of shots? Mm. And it's like, because they're actually not gripping the bow.
Yeah,
anymore. They're holding it open, and they have a loop over, and then they fire it, and then they just let it the loop angle, so they're not fighting the momentum of the bowstring anymore.
Oh wow!
Or the amount of weird things they have to think about. The shaft of the arrow is not leaving directly in the center; it's always on the side. So bows are flexible, so they loop around the bow shaft. And they kind of wobble when they go.
Mm.
It is amazing when you see it fly.
Like, oh my god! No,
the archer's paradox.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the turkey guillotine?
No.
It's an arrow that when you fire it, it opens up and it becomes like a fan blade.
Oh no!
Stuff like this would be fun, like net arrows, shit like that.
No, there's still stuff to mine for marksmen.
Yeah, I like the idea of treating it like poisons. Like, well, I mean, mechanically.
Yeah.
Turkeys are so fucking cool.
They're so fast.
Holy shit.
It opens up and spins, and it just cuts their heads off.
Yeah, it does. Damn. Fuck.
So things like the turkey guillotine arrow, don't watch that video if you're sensitive. The mechanics of how that arrow works is really impressive.
Then again, if you eat turkey, that has to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's much more humane than a turkey.
Oh, it's the most humane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stuff like arrows that, you know, hollow arrows, barbed arrows, they cause bleed. They they pin you, and if you move, they do damage. Stuff like that. Okay. All right. I feel good about that. I feel like in my head, they're working their way into a hole.
They're becoming Hawkeye, and I'm into it.
Yeah. Okay.
Do denial of area arrows and shit.
Yeah, but unlike Hawkeye, you could do fucking magic if you want to.
Yeah.
You could, when we eventually do Path of Storms or whatever, you could become Thor with arrows.
That sounds fucking great.
that sounds amazing. Really cool.
So you shoot an arrow and then you call it back to you and it goes through another guy.
No, you throw your bow.
Oh, shit. I don't carry arrows anymore. Just
shoot lightning bolts. Yeah,
just whip the bow around.
Or just even like matching arrows. I'm like, what is it? Anytime you shoot, like the first arrow you shoot, if did the thing and you're just like, okay, this one is going to do the exact same thing because they're called to each other. They're paired arrows.
You could become like a, oh, so the most ultimate archer is Yondu from the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
Yes.
Like, maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's step 10 is that nonsense of just...
God, it's amazing.
You fire one arrow and it could... Oh, shit. You fire one arrow and it just stays out for the entire scene. And you can just redirect
it. What if that's called shot? You don't fire on your turn, but you point out a person, then the next person, then next person. And then on that fifth time... You do take your shot, and it just goes...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do like the idea of the arrow that's just flying around and does it.
Well, but the sentient arrow.
But that is like marksman. Maybe that's the thing you could do, like the poison. You put it on this. You're like, here we go. You know, you could choose, like, you redirect it with some kind of sound so people can be Yondu if they want to.
Or you shoot someone with an arrow, and your bow just picks up their blood scent and just wants
the homing arrow. Yeah. Okay. All right, I like all of that. We'll talk about when each thing should come to you. Let's get into our homework. We're going to flesh out this fucking roster of things and shit. Max, you said you... what have you got?
I have a creature that I came up with, and I have a artifact. And then I'm coming up with...
Let's want to do artifacts, then...
Let's start with creatures. Do you have a creature?
Let's do creatures, yeah.
Yeah, because we all three have creatures for sure. Because I need to workshop... I came up with three artifacts.
Yeah.
I'm just going to talk about all of them, but I want to workshop the potion that I just have an idea for, but no mechanics.
Yeah, and for the creature, all I did was bring a vague idea, some vague mechanic, because of like, well, the tier damage would be whatever, and the health is going to scale. Like, I don't have hard mechanics for everything.
Yeah, but we're not statting anything, but just like, what do you think it does? Yeah. How does it work? You know, that kind of thing. Okay.
And let's go first.
Max, why don't you go first?
These are, I call them Kirkin.
Can you spell that for us?
K-I-R-K-I-N, but we could doesn't matter.
Well, just so that like when I'm editing it, I can write it out.
And they are about hip high, maybe the size of a key deer here in Florida. Mm-hmm. And they are almost seal-like, but they are on the land. They're amphibious.
Almost like hippogriffs, almost.
Yeah, but they attack with their teeth. They're a jaw animal. They're kind of like if a wolf went back into the sea for a while.
Damn it.
Oh, that's cool.
Son of a bitch.
Is that what you had?
I did a very similar.
Oh, damn.
Mine's pretty similar, too, actually. But okay. not semi-aquatic.
Okay, yeah, these are semi-aquatic. They're used as, like, in this area, like catch snarf, they're used as, like, guard animals.
What do they look like?
If a wolf was not furry, was more like seal-like skin, very big in the jaw, wide at the shoulder. They're built for...
Attack otters?
Attack otters, yeah. But they're not...
It's weirdly terrifying.
They're not gelt. You know, they're not evolved in any way like that. They are just...
Almost like seals, right? Like seals are the wolves of the sea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much.
And this is the wolf of both.
I was going to have them be Brookie, but I like a smaller version of Brookie, but I think I like it as being semi-aquatic as well.
Can they get into boats?
I would say no. Maybe they could be lifted into a boat, but I think it would be hard for them to get into a boat.
Mm. Could they capsize you?
Yes, definitely. There'd be two or three of them. They'd be a pack animal.
Mm. Definitely a pack animal.
If you're out there in a skiff.
Yeah.
Where do you think they... Because they probably wouldn't be everywhere, right? Like,
no, this is their shoreline, riverine, kind of leading to bodies of water. Oceanic. Maybe there might be oceanic varieties.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also probably like temperate forest-ish stuff. Like, you're not going to find it in a swamp, like a garbage swamp, or in a river in the desert, because there's just not enough things around afterwards for them to make sense of it.
They don't sleep in the water, you know. They're definitely a land animal that operates in the water.
So, do they build dens like otters do?
Oh, that would be cool. Don't fuck with that Kirkenden.
Kirkenden. Do they commonly attack people, or is it just like a...
They're, if you're in the wild, you know, if they're hungry, depends on the creature, but they're kind of... These ones in the campaign are acclimated to the people that are there.
So, it's more like alligators and crocodiles.
Yeah.
Like, as they're like, you just be...
Yeah.
They're not going to fuck with you, but don't fall in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're only going to attack you if it makes sense to them.
Yeah, if there's five of them and you're just walking through the woods one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they fast?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
They're alligator fast. So faster than you, but maybe not. They're not cheetah.
Mm. Are they planning hunters? Are they smart?
Small pack. Mm. Like four or five. They get very territorial and stuff, so you don't want to.
Right. So I was thinking, like, are they like wolves where they like have advanced pack tactics, or they're like javelina where they're like, there's four of us, let's just move and kill it?
Yeah, more that. More javelina. I don't want them to be just wolves in a different skin.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I did, pretty much. I made wolves.
It's a badass thing. Wolves are just, I think in this podcast game, wolves are one of our favorite
things. I mean, the archetype of wolf in an RPG is always, there's always a wolf or a wolf substitute.
Yeah, if that three-legged wolf hadn't chosen to attack Kelton, you probably would have adopted it.
Oh, no, instantly. Yeah. We'd be like, oh. Yeah. We got Tripod here hanging out with us.
All right, Liam, what about you?
I made spiked sprinters. They're about the size of a white-tailed deer. They are reptilian. They have four long, like, slender legs, and they move. They move, like, 8 to 10 squares around.
Are they solitary?
No, they hunt in pairs. They are hard to grapple because they're heavily spiked, but they have long, thin limbs, which allows them to be very fast. But they go in straight lines. They don't really maneuver.
So they're almost like a pronghorn. Like, yeah. They're not taking corners.
No. Cannot take corners. But one of the things I want them to be easier to trip than other creatures. Like, they're fast. They'll get on you. But you kind of don't even need to hit them when they're going full out. Just the threat of almost being hit, and they'll just fucking tumble.
So they're almost like really fast, short-necked giraffes?
Yeah.
Okay. They're just long limbs.
Yeah.
Awkward.
But kind of, you know, think of a raptor mixed with an ibex mixed with a wolf.
Dope.
Interesting. And what do they look like again?
They're reptilian. They're scales. Definitely cold-blooded, so you wouldn't find them in extreme heat or extreme cold.
The sprinting makes sense then, cold-blooded. Like, they just sit out and sprint only when they...
Yeah.
Just like alligators.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they have to move in straight lines, and maybe even a thing where, like... They probably can't even directly run into you because they just can't stop. They wouldn't be able to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also come up with another idea for a mount.
Yeah?
Yeah. Almost like a lobster.
Okay.
That you could ride with the claws and shit. I think that would be a good Savathian-type mount.
Underwater?
Either.
Because we don't have any underwater mounts yet.
Yeah. That could be an underwater mount.
And they breathe underwater.
So. Yeah.
I got Brelina. They are carnivorous horse-like creatures with ram horns and cloven hooves. They travel and hunt in packs, showing low individual intelligence, but surprisingly sophisticated group tactics.
Murder sheep.
Yeah.
You made murder sheep.
Yes. They move to ram enemies and drive them apart so that the bulk of their group can drive through the middle, flanking and scattering the victims, and trample them. Trample and hit them is how they kill them before they eat them. They bed down in plains and fields, entering thick forest only during their migratory period during the dwindling. And they tend to be deterred by artificial structures of any kind and loud noises. Travelers without a pot to bang on might end up as a line of picked clean bone fragments.
Oh, but I like the idea that you have a pot, you're probably safe. Because they're like, oh, no. Oh, mm.
Yep. And that's my Brilliant.
Yeah.
So she would just have snakes just be snakes. Like, snakes are still snakes, no matter
yeah,
what.
Yeah, but throw some big ones in, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, snakes have been snakes for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ever since, you know, the Garden of Eden, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah, no.
That was 6,000 years, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Precisely. You guys want to get into artifacts?
Yes.
I came up with an artifact. I don't know if it's silly.
Silly is great.
Eyeglasses, and they just make you see better. Because I think in a medieval world, eyeglasses would be like, holy shit.
Max, I'm wearing those right now.
I know. I'm saying a million years in the future when everyone's at medieval technology level, if you just have eyeglasses, people would be like, damn.
What if they work on blind people?
Ooh.
Or in the dark?
So like a blinding effect, you could put these on and they would counteract that?
Maybe. Like you put them on, and even if you can't see, you can now see. But if you can see, they make you see better. Like, maybe a little bit further.
Okay.
I almost like the idea that they do the same thing to you no matter what you see.
Yeah.
Like, when a regular person puts them on or a blind person does, it does the same thing, only the blind person can also see.
Maybe like, it turns everything black and white, but you can see in the dark. But if you're blind, they also work?
Yeah.
I like that better. I was just thinking...
Second eyes? People call
the ability to grind glass would be...
Well, this is like an artifact. Like, no one knows who made this. This is beyond comprehension.
Now, I think you can. I think because of rituals and stuff, people
you can
are
make them.
People are, well, no, I maybe mm-hmm. maybe for Max's case, people could make these. I don't know. That's up to you for the.
Yeah.
For the
thing. I think it would definitely be a ritual.
Okay, so it is a magical ritual, not like some technological holdover.
I think you could find better ones that are holdovers, mm-hmm. but I think people would have found them and then. Reverse engineered them in their own technology level.
See, I would assume that like you could restore somebody's sight through magic, but it's complicated and expensive. But somebody found these and they're like, oh sweet. Yeah, and then like, oh, you restored my sight with magic? Great. I'm still gonna keep these around for when it's really dark.
Yeah, but like put that back on our Yondu character. If you have a marksman with that ability who can now see in the dark.
What do they look like? Do they look very silly? Or are they
Yeah, I think they'd be big and bulky.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like Bubbles' glasses from Trailer Park.
Very much so, wooden frames, you know, iron bolts. Like,
right. Just, they look fucking ridiculous. Your eyes look huge to everybody who sees you. If you have eyes, like what if you lost both your eyes and you have this giant magnified pieces of skin? You could wear a blindfold under them.
Yeah.
Just imagine the idea of putting you on a creature that doesn't have eyes and now suddenly it can see and it would freak the fuck out and be like, whoa!
Those blind, was it the blind scorpions we ran into?
Oh, yeah.
You just slip them on there and they freak out.
Yeah. Well, they were the lizards, right? And scorpions were driving.
Yeah.
But imagine just putting on a thing that doesn't even have eyes. And it'd be like, whoa, no.
That would be awesome. Yeah, and you don't like blink when you have those on.
Nope.
Because there's no reason to, so you're just constantly aware like of everything in like a cone in front of you.
You blink and close your eyes, but you still see through it.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Because that would... It would have an effect on you. You would, you know, mm-hmm. if you, no matter what, you close your eyes, you'd still see. You would eventually go a little crazy.
Yeah. You could just take them off.
Yeah.
You could wear them while you're sleeping, and it would give you a bonus to being aware.
Could you sleep, though?
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep with my eyes open.
Nah, I'd have to
People
take them
can
off.
Do it.
Yeah, I guess. It doesn't sound like good sleep, though.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna recover your HP.
Maybe that would be the thing. You're less likely to be attacked, but you're not going to recover the full.
Yeah. I like that. What do you want to call them?
X-ray specs.
They don't do that, though.
It needs to be something like...
X-ray specs don't do that.
That's true.
Gravitas. Oh, but I thought they did. How can you advertise in a magazine if your product doesn't work? The government would do something about it, wouldn't they? So let's think of a name for these
Peepers.
Bad boys. Peepers.
You could even, like, get more esoteric. It would be, like, McGargles
glaring vision.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
McGargle's glaring vision.
Yeah.
And they just look terrible. They look awful.
That's what my ritual is named like that.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
Not McGargle's glaring vision, though.
Right? No, it's actually, that's what exactly it's called.
Well, actually, glaring vision makes it sound like it's a ritual and not an object, right? So,
yeah.
So, like, McGargle's vision specs or something. You
know? The helm of glaring vision or something.
You have to put it on, yeah. Like, those fucking terrible
actually
Oakleys.
Like that.
Yes. Because I'm just thinking, like, how a medieval craftsman would recreate, like, something we have.
Right.
It would just be bigger and bulkier.
It looked like have you seen those Oakleys that go over the top of your head?
Yes.
Yeah, they're really dumb.
You have to wear, like, a helmet.
Like, you ever read, like, a 1950s school computer club? Ever read about them? Like, the kids used to go out with, like, wood grain alcohol, like, all the time to, like, keep it running, and they had to, like, run the generators and all that.
That's fucking cool.
Like, computer clubs, it was, like, really intense to be able to run these.
Damn.
These giant computers. My uncle was in the Navy during that time, and they would just take the wood alcohol to run the computers and mix it with, like, fruit punch, because there was, like, a 40% chance you'd go blind, so they would just risk it, you know?
Wood alky. But, like, McGargle's helm of peeping? I don't know.
What are we...
McGargle's helm of second sight.
They could work, yeah.
I like that it's a helm.
Yeah, you just have to wear it. It doesn't protect you from anything.
No.
It's not armored. At least not in a way that you'd like. It's you could say that it's uncomfortable, so don't sleep in it. It'll ruin your sleep. It's terrible.
Like, you're getting set up for like a special ops mission. You're all in black, like really slick clothing, and then just clung.
Giant chrome dome.
You wrap it in burlap just so it's like less glaring.
You put
and
a
weird
hat on top of it.
That's what we need to do. We need to make.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Two Helms.
Yeah. Like, when they make a ranger, they always make them look so cool and, like, oh, they're so fashionable, but they're out in the woods all the time. They wouldn't look like that.
No, they look like bums.
Yeah.
Because they are.
It'd be more like the Book of Eli, like, just dirty.
Yeah. So, yeah, what do you want to call it, Max? McGargle's what?
McGargle's helm of... I like... Yeah.
Of vigilance.
Helm of watchfulness or something? Helm of...
Watchfulness implies that it does something like that. Just because all it does is make it so you can see. Like, basically, you're looking through infrared.
Yeah.
Well, or not infrared. Yeah, like, you can see. What is it called with night sight? Is that infrared? But it's still black and white.
No.
But it does reflect infrared light.
Yeah.
That's so you're not seeing heat, but you can see infrared light.
Like Mario Tennis on the Virtual Boy.
Yeah. If everything's black and white, you could be like McGargle's helm of...
Of monochrome.
Oh, McGargle's monochrome dome.
Monochrome
dome. Yes.
Sold American.
All right.
We need to make McGargle be like this legendary, like,
oh, we can do that. He's
just Mordenkainen, but for objects.
But his name's McGargle.
McGargle.
Yeah. No, but yeah, McGargle's the artifact, like the artificer, but the crazy one. The one who makes dumb things.
He's like Saheeli in magic, but he makes stupid shit.
Like, he's like, what do these shoes do? You can walk on the bottom of lakes and stuff. It's like, how do you breathe?
I don't know. Not my fucking problem.
Yeah.
Like, can't I just wear heavy shoes and do the same thing? Well, yeah, but who wants to wear heavy shoes? Yeah.
But these are more comfortable to walk in.
Yeah. You could just walk in it regularly, though.
And they feel like regular shoes.
These are nicer?
Yeah. They're fashionable.
Why don't you wear heavy shoes? Because you can walk out of the lake with these?
Yeah.
We tried that at...
It didn't go so well.
You get to a McGargle, like, devotee workshop, you know, people who worship McGargle, and there's just, like, dead people at the bottom of the lake in heavy shoes. Like, people are singing and dancing around, like, crafts tables.
There's a bunch of animals wearing humanoid exoskeletons that are all janky that they've built that they're using to test products on. Yeah. Like, here, wear this on your glove, and it's just a dog in a suit. Like, what?
When you jury-rig something, you don't call it jury-rig, you McGargle it. I'm McGargled, don't worry. It'll work.
Oh, shit. It's all McGargled. You're basically, like if the orcs from 40K actually made things other people could use.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know, for 10 Ackies, I can McGargle it, or 40 and I'll fix it.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
That's good. Yeah, like a welder is like, yeah. I mean, how much time you want me to put into this? Like, we could name it after McGargle if you only got 10 minutes.
I want the idea of, like, people who worship McGargle as, like, a demigod.
We got it. We created McGargle. Just an inventor who doesn't care how practical their thing is. That's it.
It's just that he did it. He's like, I made a thing.
McGargle's monochrome dome.
It's like, do you need to walk underwater? Yeah. Then put these.
But I also need to breathe underwater.
Yeah.
Come back in 2 days.
Yeah.
I'll have something that works. It's this giant backpack you have to wear.
It's just a 30-foot tube of, like...
It'll always reach the surface. Yeah. Like, you will never... We're just creating artifacts right now.
Yeah, they're like, how? How does it reach the surface? Don't worry about that.
It's just, there's something else going on in there. Like, it'll always be fresh air, but it always reaches the surface. And it's just too for fucking long.
It's always fresh air, but it's always rubberized somehow.
It tastes bad.
It's always fresh air, but it's always from the same spot. It's not from the air above you. And you're like, what? Wow. And you're just like, don't worry about it.
But the tube's still got to reach all the way up.
Yeah, but it's got to hit there.
Is someone cooking something?
It just goes to my house. Yeah. What? Why? He farted. He farted.
Oh, God. Oh, That's why he got his name. Somebody underwater. Somebody underwater smelled one of his farts.
So here's our artifact. It's a rebreathing mask that's linked magically to somewhere else, right? Yeah. That's what it is? Yeah. Okay. So you put it together with the boots of walking underwater.
It's somebody's house. It's just linked to somebody's house. Okay. Okay. All right, Liam, what's your artifact?
I just
invented four of them. Right?
Yeah. I know.
All right.
I'm bringing the first blade.
Okay.
It's a 6-inch dagger of black metal with a very simple... It's just like... uncommonly simple and sleek looking, but it's very elegant. And it is a +2 tier dagger, and it's vicious, which means anytime you do max damage with it, whether on a crit or by luck, you get a free melee basic attack, and it cannot proc off itself.
Okay.
What does that mean?
If you crit with it, and then you get a free attack, and you crit again, you don't get to go again.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
It's not exploding dice.
Yeah.
But it's only with that dagger you get the extra attack.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you do an attack that involves both of them, you do get the free melee basic attack, but only with it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I like that. Simple.
Yeah.
And a weapon, too.
And it's more effective, or the thing will happen more the lower level you are, because you're more likely to do max damage naturally.
One thing I want to get into in design episode later, but not ours, is maybe we could come up with like three previous cultures and the kind of things they made that you'll find.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, or problems that happen that you could blame on them. So, like, the Savathians, we can treat as one, right? Yeah. Like, we can do that. And then, like, something that was earlier than that, and then maybe something even way further than
the
that.
The Guff.
No, the Guff are the newest ones, and you know that.
They invented everything.
Yeah, but this is from before recorded history. And, in fact, if the world we have right now is an extension of the current world we live in...
Mm-hmm.
This blade exists right now and is beyond measure old already.
Right. So maybe the material it's made of, like, there's no... obviously not using wood handles.
No.
Like, it's probably a metal handle as well, yeah, if it's going to survive, you know, some kind of weird metal.
But in my head, it started out as, like, a flinted, just stone...
Oh, so you mean like a caveman made it?
Knife, but it's just the first blade, and it just has just gotten... weirder and crazier, and just killed so many things. It's like, just let me kill more. Oh,
it just has a handle made of whatever the last person used on it. It's like a piece of steel that never, like, or yeah, not steel. Like, maybe it is like some kind of flint, right?
Oh no, I think it's metal now, but it didn't start that way. It's got a thing of its own. Oh,
it's the first murder weapon.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, kind of
dope,
sweet.
And it's but one thing I want to have on it is you can't store it. You can't put it in a trunk and then leave it for a while. When you go back, it'll just be gone. because it does not want to. It does not want to sit around. It doesn't linger. You don't find it sitting in a hoard in a dungeon. It has to be pulled off somebody. It wants to be used.
Interesting. You always got to have it like in a sheath.
Yeah, you just have it. Have it on you.
You can't like take a shower.
No, you can take a shower, but it's when if it's stored and left alone for too long, it leaves.
Like maybe a month.
I'm saying like a couple days.
Okay, that's cool. I just worry about somebody who like you get imprisoned. They take it from you. And you're like, fuck. And they put it in storage and you're like, well, it's gone forever now.
That would happen, yeah.
Okay. That's fun.
Or you would wake up and it would just be on you because it knows that you want it. Yeah. Just be like, I'm back.
It wants to do murder.
It's just looking, what is the best opportunity for murder?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nearby. If you're no longer the best opportunity for murder, it's...
It would be so pissed if it was just on the belt loop of a caster. It'd be like, damn, I want to kill.
What if it never travels through magic? But like circumstance, so like,
oh yeah,
so
stuff like, just like, happens.
Yeah, like a guard was mm-hmm. now he has it. He's like, huh, huh, but he doesn't think about it, and he trips and falls on it, and it kills him. And then it's just like it's in your cell,
and they like, just roll. Yeah, just like okay. As he dies, it just rolls to you. You're like, okay,
like a Final Destination version,
or you put it in your trunk at your base of operations or an inn, and you leave it for too long, and then a thief just immediately knows, like, I know how to open that door now. And you're like, well, how do you know? And it's like, I have to go steal something.
Mm-hmm. The risk of having it would be that if you stored it, if you, like, put it in a trunk for the night or you were arrested and there was somebody who was way better suited for it, it's going to go with them.
In the area, yeah.
You gotta kill them.
And so to it have it, you just have to be...
No, I think as long as it's yours and it's on you, it's not leaving you.
But, I mean, to keep it, you have to be a murderous individual. Like, that could drive you...
There would be people who probably swore it off.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, who don't want anything of it.
Like, but I love the idea
it's ruined my life. It made, you know...
that it could break you out of jail. Like, you the guard opens the door, he falls, stabs, and rolls, and the keys are just there, and the knife's like, let's go.
Yeah, like...
You're not going to be doing any stabbing from here. Let's go.
Yeah. I like that idea.
You're walking out, and it's pulling you towards the door while the guards are, like, sleeping. Well, we're not done yet, buddy.
I would like the idea that you never actually feel its influence. That shit, kind of shit happens anyway, so you could always blame the knife, but...
Could it have a direct negative, like, 5-2 diplomacy rolls?
No, I don't, because I don't...
It's just in your mind driving you to murder?
I don't think it wants you to kill your friends, or, like, it doesn't want to kill everything. It needs to be around someone who is going to be doing some killing.
But the risk is it's such a good weapon, but you're going out there and you're fighting things that are really, really tough, and if it gets away from you, it probably is going to be used against you. I like that idea. That's a fun one. I came up with I'm going to save one of the artifacts because I want to think on it a little bit more, but I came up with two artifacts. One of them is a push stone, and it's a small circular stone the size of a hockey puck. You press your thumb to its center, and it will accelerate in the opposite direction at high speed. And for acceleration, it can move objects under 200 pounds, but it can help to move larger objects or be placed in positions to rotate them or turn them, you know, influence them through pushing. It accelerates the object by 10 squares per turn. So first turn, 10 squares, second turn, 20 squares, you know, it just keeps accelerating. Increasing speed by 10 every turn. For every 20 pounds the object weighs, you reduce its rate of acceleration by one square. So, maybe it doesn't do it indefinitely. I think we're talking about this. Like, maybe it'll do it for 10 rounds.
10 rounds is perfect.
That's enough to send somebody fucking...
That's enough for it to do... That's enough for it to do something ridiculous, but not... If you let it just go forever, you could do really weird things with it.
Yeah. And if you have a couple of them, like, that's a multiplier. Like, you know?
Or even just like, okay, I made a grindstone. I put a push stone on it. It goes forever. I have a mill. Bye.
That could be fun. And maybe you could, you know, make a glue and stick it to things. You know, like if you somebody has that the first dagger and nobody, like, maybe somebody has the first dagger and that person in your party dies and you're in the middle of a fight, somebody's just going to tie a push stone to that dagger and send it off into the sky. It's like, fuck, like, we could not afford this thing to be near us. And it's going to be miles away by then.
And then you do that, and then it just, a day later, a bird falls with it like in front of you, and you're like, ah, fuck.
You're like a bad penny.
Yeah. Some guy's like, oh, I fucking hate my boss, and it goes, and lands in front of him, and they're like, huh.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, they're like, how did this land in front of me? You're like, there's a complicated thing that happened miles away.
A bird impaled with a knife with a push stone on it, and you're just like, What?
Instant murder. It's instant murder kit. You're like, pushstone? Dagger? Let's do this.
You kill someone and just send the murder weapon away.
I just like the idea, though, that like you're like, oh, I'm going to knock somebody off balance with some kind of maneuver. I'm going to put a pushstone on their forehead and it's going to slam them into the ground. Things like that. Or some monster is trying to pin me and he steps on me. I put the pushstone on his foot and he flips end over end through the sky. Like,
there's a lot of fun things to do to...
It's like an Iron Man retro rocket.
Yeah.
Like just...
But there's a lot of fun stuff you could do where like, ooh, we think this hallway's trapped. Mm-hmm. Put a pushstone on something and just send stuff through.
Yeah, and the rate of acceleration needs to feel... So, like, for instance, you could stop it with your hand, but it would feel like it has a gravitational pull in that direction, right? So it would be, like, how much would the stone weigh for that to be true? For something to push something that's 200 pounds, 5 feet, right? 1 square, mm-hmm. or 190, right? Probably feels like 100 pounds of force. That's a lot of thrust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you really throw somebody off their game. Yeah. For 10 rounds, which is 1 minute. 1 minute's a long time.
Yeah.
To just send somebody fucking...
Put it on their back, they can't quite get to it.
Yeah, but if you put it on like a person, as they twist around,
it would fall off.
Well, no, I imagine it sticks to, like, maybe it sticks to whatever you put, mm-hmm. you touch it to, like almost like a magnetic mm-hmm. thing. They could pull it off if they grabbed it and yanked it off, and then it would maybe the second it becomes detached, it just deactivates and falls.
But it would still be great to launch someone in the air. They get it off and then they're like, great, I'm now 30 feet in the air. This is exactly where I need to be.
Yeah.
Would every caster marksman have an opportunity attack on them then? They're just 20 feet up in the air?
No.
Everyone just pull.
Forced movement doesn't provoke.
Yeah.
But unless it's hazing charge. But I just imagine, like, you're like, oh, shit, I don't want them to be able to pull. Like, maybe one of these fucking rams comes at you, the Berlina, right? You dodge him, you uppercut him. Put a pushstone under his chin, starts bouncing, flipping end over end the thing for a full minute.
Like, you've got a bad guy with like a really wicked like curved sword or whatever, and you're like, oh shit, and you just put it on the sword.
Let's do five rounds, 30 okay. seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do that instead. Because 1 minute you're never gonna find that fucking thing again.
Oh no.
Yeah. It's gone. I like, okay, so pushstone, that just sounds like fun silliness you can get up to. We don't, like, the rules of what it feels like, what it does, I feel like that's enough for GMs and players to get creative with it. And another artifact I came up with was his orienting necklace, which I wanted something that... I was thinking of really useful spells that people use all the time, like spider climb, and how they would be different in our world. Like, we could just say, oh, spider climb's a spell that you cast or whatever. But to more fun, we should make it an artifact, I think, where instead of boots of spider climb, maybe a necklace that you wear. It looks like a three-dimensional arrow. So it's like a cone on a rod, you know, mm-hmm. That hangs from your neck on a pivot. And then you can spin it like a gyroscope, by putting your hands together and just bzzz, like spinning the rod. And then you would change the direction that it's pointing, and whatever direction it's pointing is down for you and you only. If you fall more than 5 feet, it turns off. So if you're upside down, you want to jump across, like you're like, oh, well, there's a hole straight up. I'm going to go straight up. And then you orient it. So you're walking up the wall and walking on the ceiling, and then you try to jump down into the hole that'll go take you all the way to the top. It just turns off.
Oh, I almost wish you could use it to climb up weird things that way. That'd
be
fun.
You could climb. You could walk mm-hmm. like that if it's big enough. But if you just want to like jump and fall all the way, it's not going to work. It just turns off. But that prevents you from...
falling into the sky endlessly.
Yeah, or even just falling sideways into a wall. Like if the orienting necklace, you know, gets turned... Mm-hmm. You put it on a bad guy, you turn it on, you orient it to a wall that's 100 feet away. It just... They slide for 5 feet and it turns off. Yeah. And let's see, it's shaped like an arrow, it's dull silver and heavy, maybe it weighs like a full pound, you know, around your neck, and the pendant hangs from a chain.
Heavy but not insane.
As an attack action, the wearer can use both hands, palms together, to spin up the pendant. Using a swift action, they can point it in any direction, and that direction becomes, you know, it will orient them in that direction. Yeah, so that's all the rules for it. So
Does it spin down on its own eventually?
No.
It just keeps going?
Yep, keeps going.
All right.
Yeah, but somebody has to be wearing it for it to... Maybe a good thing is just to always have it spinning in the correct direction of down. Actually, that would suck, though, because if you, like, lay down, it would turn and it would be spinning into your chest, yeah. But, yeah, the idea of giving it an attack action and swift action things is that that outlines how you can use it in combat to pull off maneuvers and shit. Like, Slish would have loved it.
Yeah.
Because you'd just be on the roof.
That would have helped out.
Yeah.
A lot, yeah.
That's a fun one. Mm-hmm. Just simple spider climb rules
that isn't spider climb.
Yeah.
I like that because, like, Doug's character had blocked the hallway, mm-hmm. you know? If the hallway is blocked, we're just making a new...
Yeah, you just walk on the roof.
Make it a new floor, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it for our artifacts for today. I like those.
I had another one we had talked about earlier.
Is it just a dildo?
It's a McGargle.
Rod dildo. Of Pleasure.
So it's like 6 feet long, and it's a lot of... Mine was the, when we were talking about the false face effect, where you have to cut off somebody's face and do all that.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking of a very rare mask that would do the same effect without having to cut off somebody's... And walk into somewhere wearing somebody else's face.
That could be cool.
It's like, I don't know exactly how it would work. Maybe you'd still need their blood or something, but I think something that would prevent you from having to cut off somebody's face would be helpful.
Yeah. Well, if there could be some negative permanent effect, like permanent to the item attached to it that false face doesn't have. Because I think cutting off somebody, like if you do like the full witchy ritual and it comes off like it's perfect, you know? But if you got this mask that you should be able to get by. But there's got to be some negative, right? Like maybe just there's a high-pitched whine always, like right outside the edge of your hearing for everybody within, like, you know, it's just something like that where it's like really unnerving and it puts everybody on edge.
Or you can't wear it for too long or just...
It never comes off.
Yeah.
Stop making that face. It'll stick that way.
The longer you wear it, the harder it is to get off.
I don't know, because I feel like that would almost be a bonus if you're just like, I want to be the king of this world now. I'll kill him. I'll put it on. And that's just true for me now.
That's true. But you still have to have the king's blood.
And also, being a king sounds really great, unless you weren't groomed for it, have none of the skills you need, and then can't exit and exist as a regular person.
Yeah. I do like it, though. I like the idea of the mask that makes you look like them, but I just want some secondary
thing.
That's it. Like, just some secondary...
Has to be something you can't just wear all the time.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? It does. It fuses to your face, and then it just looks the way it normally looks. So you just have a gross-looking mask fused to your face. You don't look like the person anymore because it stops working. And it just becomes your second skin.
I don't know. I feel like maybe it has a cooldown. Something like that could work, where it will only last for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real limiting thing. Like, only lasts for 30 minutes, and you can only use it once every 2 days.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, that alone, I think, it makes it so that you're like, okay, well, we're not going to spend all day as this guy. We can't, but we can use it for 30 minutes, and then...
What if it smells?
It stinks. Yeah. That's just flavor text. Throw it in there. You're like, and also it stinks. It smells like socks. Like, that's really...
It's impossible to clean.
No matter how much you scrub it, it always smells like socks.
The fucking McGargle version.
You have to clamp it on. Yeah. And it's like there's a hologram in front of your face. I like the idea of the cooldown and stuff like that, like as a limiter for it. But I don't know, Max. Do you feel like that does it? It stinks? It's got...
I think the cooldown, a 30-minute cooldown, or a 30-minute limit and then a 2-day cooldown.
That could work, yeah.
Because this is like a get you in somewhere, not become someone.
What's it? Is it? Does it look like it's made of wood like the one from the movie The Mask? Or is it like metal? Or
I think this should be a holdover.
I think real thin Dairon.
I think it should be a holdover from a tech thing. And it should be...
It could even be like a fabric.
Yeah, it should be silicone-y, but no one knows what silicone is. It's just gross to them. They're like,
and that's why it stinks.
Yeah, because they don't...
They think it's skin, but it's just silicone.
It is a sex toy. Like, that's the thing.
Oh,
like,
that's why someone would have invented it. Like, I want you to look like this person. Will we fuck?
It's just like, come off a sex robot.
Oh, gross. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love it.
Can we have a necromancer who has just reanimated like 4 like AI sex robots and uses them as combat? Like,
maybe that's what McGargle does.
Yeah. He doesn't know what they are, but they must have been really important because they were everywhere.
God, I want to do a campaign where you meet McGargle now. This is an insane person.
It just struck me what Max just said. He's like, they must have been important. Or maybe they thought there was a huge war between robots because there's just one fucking everywhere. You can find one of these robots all over the place.
It's always this model.
Yeah. So maybe like that's a good campaign hook. Like, a kid is building an army of robots. He doesn't know they used to be sex robots because all that stuff like rotted away. Yeah. They don't do it. Like, maybe they can't even fight, but he shows up with them and everybody's like, we've surrendered.
Because nobody knows. Yeah.
That's a very fun. Okay. Let's get into rituals and or potions.
All right.
Max, did you have a ritual or a potion? I'm sorry. Before we get into that, we didn't name the mask.
The mask of...
Maybe even just like second skin or Trickster's visage.
Eternal skin or something, because it's silicone. They have cuckold's
face.
What do you call someone who does the cuckolding is not the cuckold?
The bull.
Because a woman who's getting cuckolded is the cuckold, right?
Yeah. it makes you a different person for long enough to have sex.
Yeah.
So what?
Pretty much it.
The liar's skin or something.
I like the liar's mask or something.
Liar's mask.
Yeah, liar's mask. Done.
Right.
Okay, and now, sorry, ritual. Your ritual.
I was thinking of a ritual bound to a like sheet of skin or vellum or something, you know, parchment, to where you could kill a bird and use its spirit to fill in a small portion of map to, like, see where you are.
Okay.
It would be very intense and gross, but useful if you're stuck somewhere.
That's really cool.
You've been in there for, like, a week. You're like, we just need to see. We got to kill a bird and see something.
Maybe not even a bird, but any native animal that would know its terrain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you don't really necessarily need to see, but this creature comes from this terrain.
Yeah. Right?
If you were like, a complex cave maze, kill a rat, put it in, you're like, you can at least see that section of cave.
Maybe 20 squares around you.
I like that.
So it's not giving you the full map, not ruining a GM's plan,
You could maybe even make it a little bigger.
I don't want to make it, like, anti-GM, because, you know, but...
Maybe it should be limited to the scope of the animal, because I feel like... 20 squares out in the open in a forest, not particularly useful.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want, in that case, you wouldn't want to get a bird.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, it's just trees.
That's true.
Yeah, you just see trees.
I was thinking of something that could fly above, but any creature.
Yeah.
Maybe so if you kill two or three, it could be wider.
The scope of its territory.
Yeah, it's based on how far it actually moves.
Yeah.
So you would be able to, like, with a bird up top. You would be able to see a lot, and you're like, oh, there's a lake over there. We can go over there. It's a long enough thing. But if it was in a cave, the rat doesn't move that much.
Or you'd be like, whether it went in through this hole, which looks like it was made, so like a vent or something.
Yeah.
And you would see, like, they would draw you the map of the vent and where it lets out. You're like, okay, so from our position, we know that the vents lead into areas over here, which means there might be rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that would be cool, like where it's not just a straight up, like, it draws you the map that your GM's going to draw you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
this is something that is very intense. It's not something you would use every 5 minutes.
Right.
It's something that really is kind of a desperation move.
Yeah.
Because most people would be weirded out by cutting open small animals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we kind of did that for our animal messenger.
Yeah. Right?
Let's. It takes a small animal, but maybe it doesn't kill the small animal, but maybe
it's something you hook on a small animal and it just fills in your chart for you.
You just rub the animal on it.
This sounds more like an artifact, though. Like, what would be the ritual? Like, maybe something...
I was thinking that cutting the animal, but if we don't want to do that, we can...
Maybe it's your blood from an animal bite. Like, you have to let the animal harm you. Like,
and then pour the blood over there.
Right, and it will lower your max HP for as long as you hold the map. Like, you can't...
Yeah, because it keeps draining blood from you.
If it's your blood that's drawing the map?
That's what I'm saying, So you have to let this animal hurt you. It fills in the map. It lowers your max HP by a D6. So you could be okay, but it does not go back up until you clean the map. You have to clean the map.
Yeah,
for your HP to go back.
Completely, but you have to clean it in clean water. Maybe that's difficult. Okay. Yeah, and then you can heal. Like, your max HP goes back up, but not your current.
And it can be done on, like, the ritual. You no longer need special, like, you could have deer hide, paper, whatever it is, or even just you straight up can do the ritual and then put it on a wall just to be like, ah, fuck, where am I?
What if you have to let the animal attack, like, you have to force it to attack you and it does whatever damage that animal would do? And that's what you're lowered by.
I like it.
That could be fun. Be fun to fuck. Because, and now you don't need a specific map. Now it's the ritual you find. You can create a map on the fly, but you have to either destroy it or clean it completely to to get your max HP back up.
I love that. Or you just get attacked and your blood's spurting on a wall and it's forming into a... You're like,
oh, yeah.
You guys better be looking at this.
Yeah, but then how do you clean that wall?
You wash it.
Yeah, but you're in a cave. Like,
You probably brought water with you.
Yeah.
And if you didn't, you wouldn't do that.
Well, you do that and then somebody draws the map on a piece of paper.
Or maybe when the blood congeals, like when it crusts over and then it'll go away.
Maybe. I think that's the risk. You gotta do something.
No one's ever waited that long because they're like, no, this sucks.
Yeah, this sucks. It really hurts. Yeah. Okay, I like that idea. Name that ritual.
Something blood.
Cartographer's gambit or something. Yeah. You know, like something like
the bloody map, the lost man's gambit,
land of carnage.
Yeah.
Masochistic.
The map of last chart. Resort.
What if the lowering of max HP? It's a minimum of an hour. It's going to last. Because it's got to be, you got to be desperate to use it. Because if you're like, well, I got water, like, we'll just do it, write the map down, and then turn it off. Like, you just use that all the time.
Well, hour's fine.
Yeah.
desperate.
How about the idea that this was made by, like, doctors, like physicians?
Why would it be?
They were the ones that were comfortable with blood.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I was thinking, like, this was probably made by a wizard who got lost.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably a famous story where a wizard did this.
The Lost Wizard's Trick?
We call it, like, the Bleeding World.
The Blood Path.
We need to make it clear that it's a map.
Something you do to yourself is, like, a price you have to pay, right? Like,
yeah. What if we focus on the animal? It's a native. Like, indigenous, resident, dweller. Dweller is a good RPG term, right?
The Dweller's Map.
I kind of like Dweller's Map. It's so simple. Or like,
I would go wound at that point, because you're missing half the Dweller's Wound.
Well, I don't think you need to name the wound in it. You're like, oh, we need to make a Dweller's Map. You're like, ugh.
Because first you got to find a Dweller and catch it.
Yeah.
And then you got to let it hit you. And the only thing you could find is terrifying. You're like, oh, fuck. You lost an arm.
Or you call it the Outsider's Price. Something like
maybe.
That. I kind of like Dweller Map.
I like that. I like that you make a Dweller's Map, but the thing you have to give up is the Outsider's Price.
Okay. Liam, what about you?
So I have a ritual called Spalding's Warding Sleep. And in my mind, Spalding is an insane doomsday prepper in this world. He thinks the world is going to end all of the time, and he's been right a couple times.
Okay.
Essentially, you make an area based on the amount of momentum you feed to it, and the first magic cast into it just doesn't happen. You get a full sleep in 6 hours instead of eight, and it makes a noise when a foreign thing enters it.
It's like an alarm.
But it doesn't go from, like, a leaf falls into it. It needs to be, you know, sure. A smaller, larger creature.
Or a trigger you set?
Yeah.
Basically, cans on a string.
Sort of. Only it also, it makes you sleep better. The whole thought of it is, if you're a party of two or a party of one and you need to sleep in a dangerous area, you're like, how do I fucking do this? And you have to give up momentum to do it.
Now, how do you experience, because I don't feel like you experience giving up momentum in the game as, like, your characters don't feel it as a mechanic. They feel it like, well, we have to drain some of our, like, life force, right? Like, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you have to put some of yourself into this as part of the spell.
And the amount makes the area larger.
Yeah. I feel like momentum is your concentration, like what you're putting into.
Not really.
No,
because you can spend it for
well,
things
if it's
that
based on a dice roll, like, and then I get an extra dice roll. It's like I really focused on doing this kind of thing.
Maybe or
in this in a, like crafting of like rituals kind of thing.
Yeah, or it could just be luck. You know, the idea that it. Yeah,
I always thought of it more as luck. Kind of, but more because again, it's how important you are to the story too. It's the amount of a beating you can take. The
it's the force,
sort of.
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Except the force will royally fuck you if you do. Well, I guess what that's like the force, kind of. The rules of the force are spotty at best. What's funny is the Last Jedi or whatever the last Star Wars movie that came out. He's like, "Do you know what the force is?" And she's like, "Yeah, like you lift rocks and stuff." It is kind of that though. Like you kind of you got to give that to her.
Yeah.
It was that.
Oh, you were raised on a desert planet by yourself? Yeah, that's a pretty good understanding of the Force.
Yeah, I've seen people use it to do that. That is part of it, for sure.
Yeah.
It was, in fact, a huge story moment.
With Yoda, right? Once you can lift something heavy, then you know the Force.
Yeah. So, probably wouldn't need to create more than three spaces.
No.
For two people.
Yeah.
Does it make you invisible?
Nope.
Or, just sets an alarm?
Stuff can see you, but if someone's, like, scrying into it or sends something to see it, it disenchant it. You can't. Someone can't cast a fireball at you when you're in it, and it makes. And part of it is like potpourri or incense that kind of fills the area, and that's what the actual. That's what triggers it.
Okay. Now, is it the area for the alarm? You'd want it to be bigger than the area you're in, right? If somebody walks in within 20 feet while you're sleeping, and you created it for five to sleep in, you want it to sound off, even though they're not casting.
Then you
spells.
Had to put more momentum in it.
Oh, okay.
It is the area.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It'd be like, we're going to sleep in a closet. You could do that.
I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. I was thinking just for like doubling the alarm, but you get none of the magical effect. Like doubling whatever the size is you set for that.
Yeah.
Like the radius is double that for the alarm would be a little more useful.
Or it could be way less useful because anything could trip it. Like, a deer walked through.
Well, not if you set the trigger to be like a sentient creature comes in.
I don't think you can be that specific.
Oh, okay.
Like, and if it's just a creature that large walks through it, it wakes you up. And you need something that makes noise, so you need to carry like a flute or a drum.
Oh, that's
or
cool.
Something to have it start, and you need to have incense with it, and you kind of
so incense and some kind of noise.
A noisemaker.
Yeah,
that damn drum.
You never used,
or even just a whistle. So just imagine like you make a little stick thing, You burn the incense in it. You put the whistle around its cross section, and then just the whistle just starts blowing.
Now, do you think it allows you to sleep in all of your gear and stuff? Like so you're not going to take any fatigue? Because it's a magical area that allows you to rest faster. And then maybe when you wake up, you can stand up as a swift action.
Yeah.
Because when it wakes you up, it wakes you up instantly.
Yeah, the point of it is to take away from the GM the idea of a ridiculous surprise round.
Yeah.
Because you put the time and effort in. And you've spent something that you're not getting back.
Yeah, if you decide to spend momentum to be like, we have to rest. And
we have to be safe.
Yeah.
And 6 hours for a full rest is...
It's great.
Can be worth it, yeah.
It stops you because it was one of the things I was thinking about. Like, if you're a two-man party and you want someone awake and you need to get... And everyone needs to get 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah, not going to happen.
That's 12 hours that is wasted.
Yep, not going to happen. That's cool. I like that. What was it called again?
Spaulding's Warding Sleep.
I like it. That's cool. And
it's just practical. It's just something that you might need.
Mm-hmm. And a ritual that doesn't need blood. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're using a lot of blood here. I'm getting woozy here, man.
And Spaulding is straight up at just a crazy doomsday prepper.
Right.
Like mage.
I was thinking a potion. It's called Honest Ink.
Mm-hmm.
And you make an ink. And if you write with it, it can only write the truth as you understand it.
Uh-huh.
Or you could tattoo it on somebody so that they can't lie.
Ooh, I like that. Is permanently, though?
It's, yeah, tattoo. I mean, they can remove it. There's ways to remove. You can cut that piece of skin off.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it covers an area that's only 3 inches in diameter, like the tattoo. It'll only have that much ink, you know, to do a tattoo that's 3 inches in diameter. They can cut it off. They can get somebody to do a spell or something to remove it. Like, they could dispel the tattoo, but dispelling, I think, that's costly. So,
But the whole thing is, how easy is this to make?
I think it's hard to make.
I was going to say, because if it's costly to dispel, it needs to be more costly to do.
So what doesn't lie besides the iron? We could say you need a perfectly straight rod, and to create one is difficult. It doesn't have to be large, but you need a perfectly straight rod, and you need to maybe crush some leaves on it and shit. And it destroys the rod, like some kind of true rod, like that's been straightened to be like it's a measurement tool, essentially.
About a magnet, true north.
Good luck finding a magnet. Well, you can make one, right?
Yeah, you just need iron.
Just something that's non-standard. Like you do something that turns this rod to powder. You pour water in it. You mix it up. It makes this ink. It'll write only enough for maybe it'll write like 500 words or one tattoo,
or just a page and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how big people write.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Be a cool pick and poke tattoo.
Yeah.
You know.
You'd put it, like, you'd see some prisoners that have it, you know, they'd use for interrogation. But maybe the ritual is incredibly complicated. You need exactly the right thing, so it's not like everybody knows it. You have to follow the recipe precisely.
Or even stuff like bankers or people who exist in official places would get it tattooed. On them, they would get those tattoos and now even have it on their face. Mm-hmm. Should be like, oh no, I'm definitely telling you.
I think maybe it's not that common, and this is why. You could just get a tattoo that looks like that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't, maybe the tattoo doesn't even have to be in a particular shape. It just can't make a thing. Like, it's the ink that's important.
But I'm just saying, like, if there was a hyper magical, very advanced.
Sure.
Like, bank, and they would do that, and like, the whole idea is, these are real. This is the thing that we do. That's why you come to us.
But then somebody could walk in with the tattoo that they just got and lie to people. Like, it did rob the bank.
But they wouldn't have to believe it. It's the thing is, the bank that does this actually does this.
Right.
That's very important to their reputation.
Right. What I'm saying is, if you make it a virtue of I can't lie, somebody can just do that and rob you blind.
Yes. Only it would have to be, it would be associated with this bank.
Sure.
So it'd be like, you can make a fake badge too. To lie to people to do things. There's reasons why that doesn't work and why the real ones have weight.
Right.
That'd be cool also with like a religion where people have it.
I guess in my head, I imagine it wouldn't be that common because it's very dangerous to force people to tell the truth. Like, you know, the idea that it would be like something, like it would be incredibly illegal to put this on somebody. You know, like it's. So...
I guess that's the problem with role playing. Like, what is it? Tieflings? Aren't tieflings supposed to be like extremely rare?
I don't know, actually. Not anymore, I think.
Okay. But like,
originally they were a monster, so they were very rare, and then they were a player race, so they became more common.
And it's like, ooh, I'm an elf from the high mountains. It's like, yeah, there's 40 other of them in the pub right now. You know, like, I've never been to the big city. Like, neither have they.
Well, this one I was thinking it would be rare because of the, it's harder to do than give somebody a tattoo, and tattoos a complicated ritual. on its own, right? Mm-hmm. I almost think the pen would be more useful because it's sneakier. You'd be like, yeah, could you write the directions to where we're going? Here, use my pen. And that's it. There's no, you know.
Yeah.
But the tattoo thing, like, you would do if you're like, well, we're going to kill this guy anyway. It's like casting Zone of Truth. It doesn't compel them to say anything.
You know? They could still just not
say anything. Yeah, they could just not say anything. They just can't lie or intentionally mislead, except by omission. But
rather than a perfectly straight rod, I think it should just be like...
Yeah, the components of not.
A specific creature's tongue.
Yeah, that's not bad. Or maybe a plant that's very rare that has a name like the... maybe it doesn't even have to be that rare. It's just like, if you don't know this ritual, you're not getting it off. Like, it's a...
Mm-hmm. Maybe a plant that looks like a tongue.
Yeah, like a Sandra's tongue or something. You need to find the plant Sandra's tongue, and you need to go through a very complicated ritual using... if we just say that the ritual is complicated, and the components is you need Sandra's tongue, you need...
Definitely carbon to make the ink.
Yeah, charcoal. You need charcoal, Sandra's tongue, and then...
You should have to make the charcoal, though, so you know it's pure.
Yeah, you have
to... It has to be very pure charcoal. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you make the charcoal from Sandra's tongue.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to burn it or whatever. Anyway, mm-hmm. you have to make charcoal from it, and you have to use, like, a fruit of some kind, and then just the ritual itself, and purified water, which is... It's not that simple. Like, you have to... So maybe the act of purifying the water, whatever method you use, boiling, you know, mm-hmm. all that stuff, it takes 24 hours to make with your alchemy kit. And the ink itself is an odd shade of red that if somebody knows what it is, they know what's happening.
They know what's up.
Yeah. Or we could say purple. It's like it's a purple ink, and that's very odd that ink could be purple.
Or if you know, you're like, you automatically write a lie. If someone's like, here, use my pen, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
My hair is purple or something, and you'd be like...
I'd almost like that this be like kind of a secret ritual.
Yeah.
Right? So like maybe only like really high wizards or alchemists like have even heard of it. But, like, you'll find it in a cave, and you're like, oh, shit, we need some of this right now. And you just somebody in your group has a pen, and we're going to use that. That stays on them. And then you could break the pen and tattoo somebody in an emergency. That one sounds fun. And that's a, quote, potion, because you don't imbibe it, but you can put it on somebody as a tattoo.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I just called it Honest Ink. Is there...
No, I like that.
I like Honest Ink.
Okay. All right. Honest Ink. All right, well, that's it, man. We did our homework. We did this stuff. Feel good about this? You guys feel good?
Oh, yeah. That was great. Came up with some ones we didn't mean to. McGargle is my new favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, McGargle.
McGargle, high artificer, because he's always fucking high.
No, I was going to say McGargle, rogue artificer.
We're not even just like, what's the difference? Somebody's just like outside. He's not rogue because there's no rules. You know, yeah. like what is something that's just somebody's like completely outside of your
of the norm? That would be rogue,
would it?
Yeah,
he's off the grid. He's just a gridless artificer,
Maverick.
Yeah, Maverick. Artificer. I like it. Maverick, yeah. Artificer.
Hey, McGargle, Maverick Artificer.
You don't slow down, man. You keep getting ideas. Use a Maverick. Like, yeah.
You're just like lost in the swamp, and you come across a hut, and it's like a McGargle devotee.
Yeah,
and what do you need? What do you need?
No, it's like you come across a hut and you're like, oh, what a nice little hut. And then it stands up out of the swamp like Baba Yaga. But
and then walks Hell for yeah. a while and then comes back down. And he's like, and then a guy walks out and he's like, almost.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you making? A mobile home.
I'm trying to see the grandkids with all the comforts of home. Every time it sits down, it breaks some wall. He's like, God damn it.
You could travel with it, but it's going to take a long time.
It can only walk 50 feet a day. And you're like, I'm getting there.
We're trying to increase its endurance. It gets tired.
I hate camping. I hate it.
I like being out in nature, but I don't want to leave home. That sounds fun. Like a pitch man is you find in the fucking forest. You think it's like a crazy witch hut, and it kind of is,
mm-hmm.
but not in the same way. Crossbows and shit pop out when they attack. None of them fire correctly. They'll just go into the sky.
What race was McGargle?
Oh, the name McGargle. It's got to be, I don't know. I think... maybe one of the like Bayou fraud.
Yes.
What were they called? The Piro.
Yeah.
He's a Piro.
He's a Piro.
Yeah. McGargle.
McGargle.
Yeah. Lives in the swamp. Makes crazy shit that you find. That's the best name we've ever come up with is McGargle's Monochrome Dome.
Yes. No, it's the best.
Okay. All right. So thank you everybody for listening. I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did. We really like creating this kind of stuff, especially now that it's our game's namesake.
Yes. please check out our Patreon.
Yeah, check us out on Patreon, where we post everything that we make. So if you like the show, please tell a friend. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. It really does help, I promise. And if you got any RPG products you want us to check out, we've started doing reviews now, and we're going to be releasing those. Also, if you support us on Patreon at the $1 tier, you get all the stuff that we cut out of episodes like these, and it's pretty funny. It's practically a podcast on its own. At the $2 tier, you get the character sheets we come out with when we come out with them. At the $5 tier, you get all the rule books we make as they come out. And at the $10 tier, you get to create a custom character that fills the cities that we use in our actual play campaigns. Right now, the only one of which that we're filling up for the next arc is Echoes of the Star Crypt, because they're going to start in a city. Really looking forward to everybody talking to those characters, because I've looked at them. They're bananas. So again, that's patreon.com/RPGFS.
Also, you can find us on Twitter at homebrewhombres.
You can find us on Instagram at RPG from scratch. That's all one word.
And we also post updates to Facebook, which is facebook.com/RPGFS. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.